Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You know, I've got to say something to you all before we begin. I know the video thanked you, but I need to take the time personally to say thank you to you. I really mean it. On behalf of Urban Impact and myself, we are so grateful, so thankful for our partnership in the gospel with you. Thank you for your prayers, how you give to us. We thank you for how you opened up your building to us so that we could run Man Up Pittsburgh right here in Cranberry. Thank you for how you've sent volunteers down to come alongside of us so that we could lock arms to make disciples that make disciples on the north side of Pittsburgh so that we could be kingdom builders together. So grateful, so thankful. It has been fantastic, and I mean fantastic, locking arms with you and running the Lord's errands together, right here in Cranberry, as well as on the north side of Pittsburgh. So again, on behalf of Urban Impact and myself, we are eternally grateful for our partnership in the gospel. God bless you, and thank you so much for what you already do, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to do together. With that being said, let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for who you are. We really do. We thank you and we praise you for who you are. And we would ask that you would forgive me of any sin and that you'd fill me with your Spirit. That Spirit of God, you would speak through me to your people. And we as your people wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of it. You wouldn't just stir us, but that you would change us. For Lord God, we ask these things together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor John asked me to come and tell you my story, and I'm gonna basically answer three questions. First question is, how did Tammy and I get to Pittsburgh? Second, how did Urban Impact Foundation get started? And then third, how you can be a kingdom builder with Urban Impact. How you can be a kingdom builder with Urban Impact. First of all, how did we get to Pittsburgh? Well, growing up, my father was an atheist, so we never went to church. I didn't begin to understand who Jesus was and what he had done for me until I got to college. There was a young girl in college, her name was Anna Dickey, and Anna was very faithful to communicate the gospel to me. But I didn't get saved in college. It was after school, after I got out of college. I was trying out with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I was at Three Rivers Stadium on June 9th, 1979. Ooh, that was a long time ago. You know, the Pirates were good in 1979. But back in 1979, I was down there at Three Rivers Stadium, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ on second base. I didn't get drafted, but my life was changed for all eternity. And I thank God for that moment. But after then, my career with baseball was over with. I went back home. And in my town, believe it or not, is called Ripley, New York. Oh, yeah. Okay, some of you got that. Okay, believe it or not, Ripley, New York. But it really is. It's a town. It's a one-light town, but it's a town. But I was there, and one day I was driving down the road, and a semi almost hit me head-on. In order to avoid the head-on collision, I drove off the road into a vineyard, a grape vineyard. And there I'm sitting in my car with my hands up on the steering wheel, with my heart up in my throat. And I was scared, without question. I was scared to death. But I knew without a question that if I died, I was going to go to heaven. It was like this unbelievable peace. So I pulled my car out of the grape vineyard, drove home, got out of my car, went into the house, picked up the phone, and called Anna, the girl who was faithful to communicate to me about Jesus Christ. And I told her what I had done. And she said, Ed, you made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I said, yes, I did. I said, what am I supposed to do now? She said, you got to find a church. I said, I've never been to a church. What am I supposed to do? How do you find a church? She said, when you find people going into a building with a steeple on it, that's a church. You go to that church, wherever it is. You find it, you go to it. And when you get there, there's going to be a guy standing up. He'll be talking. He's called a pastor. He said, when you find that pastor, you walk up to him after the service and you ask him two questions. Number one, do you preach Jesus? Number two, do you preach from the Word of God? If he says yes to those two questions, you stay there. So that's what I did. I found a church, walked in, asked that to the pastor. He said yes to both those questions, so I stayed there. The pastor of that church is the pastor who's now the pastor at Allegheny Centerline Church, Rock Dilliman. It's amazing. He was in that little town preaching in that day, and he was there, guy I served with today. So anyway, I meet Rock, and we get to know one another. But the second day I came to church, I was sitting in the pew, and there was a Bible. Now, you have to understand, maybe, I can't really remember ever opening up the Bible, but let's say maybe once. But I saw the Bible, and I picked it up, and I opened it up. Now, my career in baseball was over with, so I was looking for a job. So I opened it up, and sure enough, right there in the Bible, I thought God was going to show me how to get a job. Well, you know, it wasn't there for a job. It was Job, right? But, you know, for me, it was J-O-B, man. I was going to get a job. So I'm reading this book trying to figure out, okay, God's going to help me to figure out how to get a job. Well, I had no idea that the sovereign God was leading me. Because in the season of my life, for the next year and a half, and I mean everything when I say everything, everything fell apart. Everything. No matter what I did, it didn't work. People began to leave my life, began to turn on me because I was a Christian. It was tough. My family, it was difficult. But God was preparing me. He was drawing me deeper to himself, and then he was drawing me into ministry. Well, I came to know Christ. 2 years later, I ended up at the Alliance Theological Seminary up in Nyack, New York, where I studied, where I met my beautiful wife, Tammy, and then we came back to Pittsburgh. How we got to Pittsburgh was Rock Dilliman, Allegheny Centerline Church, called me on the phone and said, Ed, would you please come be the outreach pastor at ACAC? So we got to Pittsburgh. So that's how we got to Pittsburgh. Now, how did we start Urban Impact? Well, when we got to Allegheny Center was a 100-year-old church, congregation. About 500 people went to the church in that day, but only 6 people from the community went to the church. Now, why only 6 people from the community? Because Allegheny Center had become a destination church. What do I mean by that? I mean that these people, remember, it's a 100-year-old church, they grew up on the north side, but over the years, they moved out into the suburbs. But they continued to drive down on Sundays to go to the church that they grew up in. So it became a destination church. So they were going to church, but they had no impact in the community. So my job as the outreach pastor was to equip them, to train them, to prepare them so that they'll get outside the walls of the church and impact the community. So Tammy and I, the first thing we did, we began to survey those in the community, asking them how they viewed the church and what their needs were. And I'll never forget this day. I was standing about 100 yards from Allegheny Centerline Church. And I looked at this woman. I said, do you know where ACAC is? She says, no. And I pointed to the church and she said, oh yeah, that's the Church of the Suits. I said, what do you mean by that, Church of the Suits? She said, yeah, well, they come down on Sundays in their cars. They get out of their cars with their suits on. They go into that building. They come out of that building with their suits on, get in their cars and drive away. So we call them the Church of the Suits. Well, Tammy and I looked at each other and said, man, do we have a lot of work to do. So the first thing we did is that we moved into the community. And why did we move into the community? Because we knew from the scriptures that Jesus Christ didn't come down from heaven one day a week and come to earth and then shoot back up to heaven for the next 6, did he? No, he came down, became one of us, and lived up close and personal. He came to dwell among the people. So Tammy and I knew if we were going to earn the right to be heard in that community, we had to live in the community so that we could build relationships, so we could love people up close, so that when they ask us for the reason of our hope, we could tell them. We couldn't do this from a distance. We couldn't commute. We had to relocate. That's what Jesus did, so that's what we did. So how did we do that? Well, we ended up, first of all, renovating an apartment. Now, that's too long of a story. I'm not going to tell you that one. That's someday. But then we went around the corner, and we bought a home, and we renovated a home on a street where 4 out of 5 homes were boarded up and unoccupied. Why? Because that was the community that surrounded the church. And that's why most of the people left the community. And they went out to the suburbs because they didn't want to live in that kind of situation. But God called Tammy and I to go there. And that's exactly where that church was located. So we needed to get outside the walls. We needed to give leadership. We needed to do what Jesus would have done. So we moved in. And when we moved in, we began to just really build relationships. We began to earn the right to be heard. But then what was amazing to me is that each time when we began to do this, it became more difficult as the weeks and the months and the years went on. I mean, it was hard. There was crime, there was drugs, there was prostitution. There were drive-by shootings. Our kids couldn't play outside. Schools were horrendous, so we had to homeschool our kids. Gang wars would go on right out on our street. We'd come home at night, in between our foyer, there would be drunks sitting there. My wife would come downstairs, she'd look out in the back window, and in their flower bed, there would be people defecating in the flower bed. We would walk down the streets, we would hear about this, never happened to us, but people would be hiding behind vacant lots, they'd jump out and mug people. It was wild. I mean, the North Side was like the Wild Wild West in those days. It's not like that today, but it was then. And then Tammy and I felt alone. We're alone because, remember, hardly anybody lived in the community that went to the church. And then the church, they didn't really understand what we were doing. They lived out in the suburbs. Why would you want to come in and live in the city? They didn't understand it. And then the people in the community, we didn't look like them, most of them, and they didn't want us there. So Tammy and I, many times, we felt like we were in the Civil War, and we had a blue pair of pants on and a gray shirt, and we were getting shot by both sides. We were getting shot by the people in the church, and we were getting shot by the people in the community. But Tammy and I knew we were doing what Jesus would have done. Did they understand Jesus? Did the people really want to hang around and have Jesus around? No. Then we knew that we had to really pray. So we did. Every day we would pray the Lord's Prayer. Every day we would ask that thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We asked for God's presence. We asked for his power. We asked for his provision. We asked for his protection. I have so many stories to tell you about how God did that, how he protected us, provided for us, where we experienced his power, where we saw his miracles. But I'm only going to tell you one. Tammy one day was walking out with my son Nathan and my other son Joshua. We have four kids. My daughter's here, Abby, and I have three boys. But Nathan was 2 years old. Joshua was about 6 months old. Tammy walked out of the house. She was going into the car, putting them in their car seats. She looked down the street, and there was a man, two men, beating up a male woman who was delivering the mail to the community. Now, that's a federal offense. You can't do that. They saw that they were seen by Tammy. They left that woman, started running towards my wife, Tammy, with every intention of doing the same thing. Tammy realizes this. She locks the car door. She shuts the door because she knows she doesn't have enough time to get in. She takes the keys and throws them into the weeds in hopes that her kids are going to be safe. She turns around. She faces these men. She gives them the dirtiest and meanest look she could possibly give these men, and they stopped. Their eyes got as big as saucers. They turned white as ghosts. They turned around, and they bolted, ran away from my wife. Now, Tammy tells a story. When she tells it, she says, you know, I saw them run away, and I thought, wow, I had no idea I could have a mean look like that. Then she realized, no, it wasn't the mean look. So she thought, okay, it must be police officers behind me. So she turned around to look, and there was no one there. Oh, my friends, there was someone there. We don't know if it was the angel Michael or Gabriel or Jesus himself. But God showed up. And when God showed up, he protected. You know, our God is a protector. Our God is all powerful. Our God is present. Our God is a miraculous God. Our God provides. And he makes a way where there seems to be no way. I would have loved to have been sitting in the bar when those two guys came in and listened to what they saw. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of it, I remember one day walking out of my house. We were 6 years into the ministry at that time. Walked out of my house and my car was stolen for the third time. And I remember looking down the street and saying to the Lord, Lord, am I wasting my time? Can we make any kind of a difference here? And right then is when the Lord began, spoke to me. And he said this to me, profound statement. How do you eat an elephant? And I responded, one bite at a time. And then the Lord took my mind and helped me to understand and to see that if we could impact one person, then one family, then one block, we could transform the community on the north side of Pittsburgh. And that's when Urban Impact Foundation was born. When God showed me one person, one family, one block. Can you say that with me? One person, one family, one block at a time. And the moment God gave me that vision, I went up in our house, up into the second floor. My wife had the two boys in the bathtub. And I told her, I said, honey, God is asking us to leave the church, raise our own support, and start a new ministry. And she started crying. But then she said this. She said, Ed, I believe that's what God is asking us to do. And because he's asking us to do it, I'll do it. We'll do it. Let me ask you this. I don't know if there are very many women, to be honest, that would have said that to me. I married a saint. I mean, she came into the city with me. Now she's going to lose all her security, a paycheck, the people in the church. We're already alone. We're already facing all kinds of things every day. Our cars are being stolen. Kids can't play outside. There's nobody around. And she would say that to me? Let me ask you a question. Would you do that? Would you give up your paycheck? Would you walk away from what you're doing, step into a situation like that to be a kingdom builder? To build the kingdom of God? You see, if we do not sacrifice, if we're not willing to sacrifice, we're going to lose everything that we know in this country. Our country is going to hell in a handbasket. Our cities are already there. And if we do not find people who really want to be kingdom builders and really want to sacrifice and do whatever it costs. You know, back in the old days, man, in the first century, those boys sacrificed. They gave it all. And they turned the country upside down. Because they locked arms with one another and they ran the Lord's errands and they were willing to put it all on the line without question. They moved out of their comfort, they sacrificed, and they died. Listen, there are people all over the world dying for what they believe. And if we do not get the courage, if we do not in this time, in this generation, lock arms with one another, your kids and your grandkids are going to live in a place that you have no desire for them to live in. But it ain't over, everybody. Amen. We're here. And we've locked arms together. And we're going to turn stuff around because it ain't over. Jesus Christ is alive. He's in this room and he dwells within you and I. And he's asking us to lock arms and be about his business. And if we'll do that, we will see miracles. We will see things change, as I'm going to share with you. You know, we got there and God started the work. In the midst of it all, it began. Now let me fast forward 25 years later. 25 years later, there's no more homes boarded up in my neighborhood. Not one. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. The church, Allegheny Center, is well over 3,000 people. Most of those people are coming from the community today. Now we're working with all kinds of churches like you. And now we're locking arms together. And now, today, we're reaching thousands of people in the tri-state area. Thousands of people in the city of Pittsburgh. But just on the north side, just among children and youth, we're touching almost 2,000 kids every week. And what's amazing to me is that not only are we touching, we're impacting those kids, but we're having an influence on those families, and We serve over 40,000 meals to those kids every year. Now, let me help you understand why we do that, why we feed so many kids. Because Tammy and I have had 35 children and young people live with us over the years. They came maybe 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. They would come into our home. We would disciple them because they were in tough situations, and then we'd send them on. And in that whole time, the only thing that was ever stolen out of the house was food. And we learned that very early. So we began to feed people because we knew that the kids were hungry, and we'd feed them physically, but we also feed them spiritually. We always preach the word of God every time we meet. Preach the word, share the gospel. And I want you to know, they said 500 on the screen today. It was really 700 people just this past year either came to know Christ or rededicated their life to Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Praise God. And thank you, because we're kingdom builders together and God is making a difference in our city. And now we've locked arms together and we're doing Bible studies down there. We're doing all kinds of things like that. But you know what? We do that through sports, education, arts, and options. Our options program helps kids transition out of high school into life, helping them to go to college, go to a trade school, get a job, go in the military or the ministry. I want you to know that the past 3 years, 100% of all of our kids, part of our options program, graduated from high school. Yes, praise God. And 97% of them have transitioned by going to a college, a trade school, getting a job, going to the military, the ministry. Let me help you understand the significance of those numbers. Back in the day when I walked out of the house and my car was stolen for the third time, we were only 6 years inside the ministry. Tammy and I were grateful and thankful if we saw 40% of our kids graduate. But only 10% of our kids ever did anything after high school. You know what that meant? That meant that 90% of the kids either ended up dead, in prison, on drugs, or back in the street. So when I say that 97% of 100% of kids graduating are transitioning and going to college, trade schools, jobs, military, ministry, that is nothing shy of a miracle. It is absolutely phenomenal. To God be the glory. Jesus Christ is alive, and he lives within you and I, and we're kingdom builders. That's who we are. We are kingdom builders. We're building his kingdom for his glory, and God is taking back the city. One person, one family, one block at a time, and you're part of that. You know, when Tammy and I began to think back about all the things that God had done, I remember kids coming to me and saying to me, "Pastor Ed, if I get to 21, I'm good." Back in those 6 years, they come on, "Pastor Ed, if I get to 21, I'm good." That's all the vision they had. Today, you couldn't find a student like that at Urban Impact. They would tell you, "No, I'm going to graduate from school. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to have a family. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make disciples that make disciples." We even have indigenous leadership coming back after college, coming back and being urban missionaries like us, raising their support, coming back and living in their neighborhood, communicating and demonstrating the gospel. You see, God is raising up an army. He's raising up people. We have had over 60 plus missionaries come. We've trained them. They've gone to other cities. They've gone to other ministries. They've even gone internationally. And I have 35 right now on the north side of Pittsburgh. And they raise their support. They live on the north side. And they're out there doing it every day, communicating and demonstrating the gospel. And you support them. You're part of that. I need to remind you that the work isn't done, though. There are tens of thousands of people on the north side of Pittsburgh we haven't reached. Just among children and youth, there's over 10,000 kids that we know we haven't touched. But I want to remind you that the north side is as big as Erie, Pennsylvania, land-wise. It's big. The population's the size of Butler. So you've got to think to yourself, right here on the north side of the city of Pittsburgh, that we're trying to reach Erie, the size of Erie. We're trying to reach the population of Butler together. And we're taking it back one person, one family, one block at a time as his kingdom builders. But I have to say this, as we're talking about the third question, how can you be a kingdom builder with Urban Impact? What I've been trying to communicate to you is this, that you live here and you're reaching this community. We're down on the north side. We're trying to reach that community. But Jesus said, "Be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and outer parts of the world." We want you to know that Urban Impact sees you as part of our mission. And we know that you see us as part of your mission. And we could do a lot more together than we ever could do apart. And as we lock arms and we continue to run the Lord's errands right here in Cranberry, as well as on the north side of Pittsburgh, and we lock arms together and we begin to be kingdom builders with one another, as I bring man up here and it impacts your men, as you bring volunteers down and we impact the north side together, God's going to build a kingdom, my friend. He's going to take back the land. He's going to bring people to himself. And we're going to have, I believe, a renewal, if not a revival, going on in our city as we lock arms together. And as that keeps going on and that takes place, I want you to see this. It's so important, though, you have to understand that you're never really going to reach the north side, and we're never really going to reach up here if you don't have kingdom builders in both places. So you'll drive by the city, you'll go to work there, but you don't live there. So you have to have a presence there. How do you have to have a presence? We have urban missionaries. Let me show you and help you understand how significant that is. Tammy and I, one day we had a little girl knock on our door and say, "Pastor Ed, can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." We brought her in, sat her down at the kitchen table. And she looked right at us and she said, "Pastor Ed, Tammy, can I live with you?" I said, "Honey, why do you want to live with us?" And then she told us her story. She said her mother was on crack. And the people in her home were a bunch of men. Her boyfriends. And these boy, and I call them boy friends, did horrific, unspeakable things to this little girl. Unspeakable. And she said to me, "You know, I told my mother this," and her response was, "Does this happen when I'm around?" She said, "No." Her mother said, "Well, then what you need to do when you come home from school, you go into your bedroom, you lock the door, and you hide underneath your bed until I get home." Could you imagine? And then she told us that her mother wouldn't show up for 4 or 5 hours sometimes. So there she sat, hiding underneath the bed in her own home. One day, the mother and the boyfriends couldn't pay the drug dealers. So violence broke out. They showed up. Violence broke out. They're screaming, yelling. The little girl runs into her room, locks the door, hides underneath the bed. About an hour later, it all calms down. She finds enough nerve to crawl out from under the bed, opens up the door, walks out into the living room. Lights are all on. Front door is wide open. She's looking around. Nobody's there. She walks through the house looking for somebody. Nobody's there. She waits for until 1 o'clock in the morning. Finally, fear comes over her. She goes over to the next door neighbor. Thank God the neighbor took her in. Took her in for 2 weeks. Finally, the neighbor's saying, "I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to turn you over to the child services." And finally, the mother shows up. And when the mom shows up, she goes right back into the same situation. So now she's sitting there looking at me saying to Tammy and I, "Pastor Ed, can I come live with you?" Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, please. Imagine that that is your child. That's your grandkid. And for whatever reason, somehow, that has transpired in their life. What would you want me to say to them? What would you want me to say to her? "Honey, listen, we'll be praying for you. And you keep praying. And we're going to believe God's going to protect you." Do you want me to say that? How about this one? "You know what, honey? We're going to go down and talk to your mom and try to work this out. And you need to go back, though, because you need to be with your mother. You need to go there. And we'll be praying." Or would you want me to say, "Honey, we're going to go down and talk to your mom. But you're welcome right here. You can come live with us." Well, I know your answer. I know your answer because it's the same answer that the father of the fatherless says. There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. Take that person in. And we did. We took that little girl in. She lived with us. She graduated from high school. She graduated from college. She ended up marrying.
a godly man. She has three godly kids. She's walking with God today.
It would have never happened if I commuted. If I lived out where you live and I kept driving down, it would have never happened. But because we were there, she had access to us. Are you thinking, you might be thinking, Pastor Ed, are you saying the only way I could be a kingdom builder is if I come down and live on the north side? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what you need to do is you need to lock arms with those who do. And you need to lock arms like all heaven depends on it. And the way that you can really become a kingdom builder right here and then down on the north side in our city is by praying, volunteering, and giving. Quickly, praying. We're going to be sending prayer requests up to the church every 2 months. We'll send our requests to you. You can pray for them. You get those, you can pray. Small groups, whatever. You take them, you pray for us. And we'll be praying for you. Second is you can volunteer. You can volunteer sports, education, arts, options. You can come down and volunteer. Some of you already do. And we'll train you. We'll equip you. We'll help you understand how you do the ministry. We do that. Also, you can come down and you can make meals. You can serve meals. You can buy meals. We're also buying homes on the north side of Pittsburgh so that our missionaries have affordable housing. Right now, the north side is being bought up by L.A., Chicago, New York. It's amazing. They're buying it all up. And the rent is skyrocketing on certain places. Now my people have to move into like almost projects to find affordable housing. So Urban Impact's buying homes on the north side. So maybe you're a great carpenter. Maybe you're a contractor. Maybe you know people who do that. You can come volunteer and help us. I'm talking to those of you that are retired. Don't retire, rewire. Rewire. Listen, you've been trained and equipped to build secular organizations. Now come learn how to build the kingdom of God with us. We're an economic development organization. You know what that means? That means that we're trying to create economic development on the north side of Pittsburgh. We're trying to provide jobs, learn how to create jobs, do all kinds of different opportunities. Doesn't matter if you did marketing, you're in business, whatever. You could do this with us. Last, you can give. You can be a kingdom builder by giving financially. You do that. And Pastor's going to come talk to you more about how you can do that. But let me end with this. Whether you pray, whether you volunteer, whether you come alongside and serve, or you come and you give, understand it's like this. We're in a spiritual war. The war's going on, and we're down on the north side, and we got boots on the ground, everybody, and we're going right into the thick of the battle. And we have people going in and rescuing people every day, every day. But whenever you take on a campaign, you got to bomb it. You bomb it with prayer. You soften the ground. You bomb it with prayer. Then you move in your foot soldiers. You move in your people, the boots on the ground. We move in. We take pieces of the land, and we take it one person, one family, one block, and we keep moving those missionaries in. We're in schools, outside of schools, reaching families all over the north side of Pittsburgh. And now what we need is we need a headquarters. We need a place, like anytime you do a campaign, you got to have a place where people are going to bring resources to you. They're going to take people off the field when they get hurt. You're going to take people and bring new recruits down to replace those you had to take off the field. That's you. That's you. And together, we're going to win the war. Together, because you know why? Jesus Christ has already won it. We just got to take back the land. We just got to do what he called us to do. We can do a lot more together than we can ever do apart. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for what you do. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. And it's a pleasure and a privilege for us to do the gospel together. We love you and we thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Hey, would you thank Ed again? I love you, buddy. I sure love you, man. One other thing you can do, if you want to actually be a part of actually going down and serving, you can. They're going to put a number that you can actually text behind me. And if you want to go ahead and just text whatever that says to do, do it. Then they'll get information to you, and you can take some follow-up steps with your life to be able to actually participate. You know, before I give you everyone the opportunity to give their lives to Christ today, which is the primary reason every Christian exists, I just want to encourage every one of you, the Kingdom Builders is not a money program. It is why you are alive as a Christian, to build the kingdom of God first with your life. Your marriage isn't about making you happy. Your marriage is about building the kingdom. Your marriage is about first, how is God going to use us to do his what he wants us to do first with our marriage? If you go into marriage thinking it's going to make you happy, you're going to be very miserable. Because if you marry another person, good luck. If you want to, you know, people say, hey, man, she will make me happy. No, she's human. You're supposed to make her happy. She's supposed to make you happy. And together, you're supposed to make a difference for God. I need to make a living. If making a living is paying bills, solving problems, going on vacation, and then we die. No, the first thing my resources are, God, what do I do with the kingdom? What do I do with my talent? God, what have you gifted me to do? I'm not called to be a Ed Glover to go be preaching. I'm no preacher. Well, what are you? Show me what you are. And if the kingdom of God is not found first in that, listen, please understand my heart. You are wasting your life. You are living outside of the amazing grace of God. And you will live and you will die and be one of the hundreds of people I can point to as a pastor. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people through the years. And I can tell you specifically, at least of my mind, 30 to 50 of them right now, that I knelt by their bedsides as they were dying. Many of them had more money than you could ever hope to spend. And without exception, at that moment in people's lives, the things they regret has nothing to do with money or stuff, or it's the intimate part of their life. Why didn't I do more? I could have done more. Why did I just waste so many? See, none of us want to get to the end and say, man, a kingdom builder is doing exactly what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom and then all the other stuff. It's not that it's unimportant to God. It's absolutely important to God. He said, but I will add it to you. And so when we have weekends like this, and we'll have a couple, actually several more throughout the year. Those of you who know Christopher Alam, I'll have him in this fall, and he's going to, just this year alone, Christopher, in the meetings that he's done in India and in Africa, have led over 1 million people to Christ in those open-air crusades. 1 million people. Then you're doing that as a kingdom builder. I want you to feel what that looks like. I want you to taste what that is. That's why I've asked Ed to tell his story. Christopher's going to come and actually pray and minister like he does overseas, and we're going to believe God for the miraculous that weekend. Another dear friend that's in Zambia. And then in November, John Bevere is going to come and tell you what you're doing around the world through that. Listen, you are a kingdom builder. But before you can ever be a kingdom builder, you need to be in the kingdom. So would you please bow your heads with me this morning? If you're here today, you're watching online, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if today you drew your final breath on planet Earth, where would you spend your eternity? On the other side of this life, there is an eternity. And Jesus said, there is a heaven and there is a hell. So I don't like hell. Neither does God. That's why he so loved the world that he sent his very own son. God came wrapped in human flesh to pay the price and the penalty for the sin of the world. And he paid the debt that you couldn't pay and I couldn't pay. Everybody you know on planet Earth, in a few short blinks, will not be on Earth anymore. 100 years from this day, all of us, everyone in this room will be in eternity. Everyone and everybody you know will be in eternity. And they will either be with Christ or not. That's the harsh reality of life. That's why the kingdom of God must be the paramount thing in a Christian's heart. And I want to encourage you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know what would happen to you if you drew your final breath, you don't know where you'd spend your forever, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for your sins. He was buried and rose from the dead and offered you eternal life. With every head bowed and eye closed, you'd say, please, Pastor, I want to receive Christ into my life today. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. It's not a way to single you out or embarrass you. It's an opportunity for you to receive the author of life into your life. He turns no one away, but he forces no one. at your own will, you can receive Christ today or reject him. So if you have never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, you'd say, Pastor John, please include me in that prayer to invite Jesus in my heart. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed. I will pray for you right where you're seated. And those of you online, just open your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, include me in that prayer either to receive Christ or I don't know that I have. I want to be included in that prayer. Lift your hand real high right now where I can see it and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. And you're not praying some dead religious prayer. You're inviting a living Christ into your broken, sin-stained life. And he will make you new. Your sin debt will be canceled and you will be heaven bound when you die because of the Savior. And we're all going to pray that prayer together with you. So if you've raised your hand or should have, and you desire to receive Christ, say this where you hear it with your own ears. Say, Heavenly Father, say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. And my sin debt is canceled. I will walk with you and live for you. And put you first in my life. Thank you for receiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give them a hand. What a great decision. Best one of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.